inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today on the program. And, of course, always listening Monday, Wednesday, Friday to Walker, and Tuesday, Thursdays, I'm with you. But throughout the week, always going to get some good biblical application to what's going on in the world. And, of course, there's some exciting things going on in the world right now. So many different opportunities to make a difference. So many things that are happening at levels that we only dreamed about, that we prayed about. But, you know, I bet we all had a little bit of doubt going, man, I just don't know if it'll ever get that good. And here it is. Just good news constantly. We can't keep up with all of the positive things coming out of Washington, D.C. Feels so weird to say that after so many years of just almost all negative. I mean, from Republican, Democrat, you name it. And now you just got victory after victory after victory. And some of these things that are happening in Washington, D.C. are huge. I mean, they're seismic. They're literally changing the landscape of American politics. And granted, for a season, this is, you know, unfortunately, everything right now falls into the category of the executive branch and the things that the president can do with this massive, swampy, out of control fourth branch we call the bureaucracy. These are all the agencies created by Congress over the years, but that the president runs. That's part of Article 2 in the Constitution, the responsibility of the president to execute the law and be in charge. That's why the president names all the, you know, secretary of this, secretary of that. Even with many of these agencies being unconstitutional, they still exist. The money's been appropriated for them. You got all these employees. And so, you know, Trump and Elon Musk and the Doge team and all the people that Trump has brought to Washington, D.C. are doing their best to slash and cut and get rid of the waste and uncover the fraud and do all these things. But it's all temporary. It's all temporary. It only happens as long as Trump is president. And should someone else win 4 years from now of another party or even a Republican that's not as bold and not as willing to do these things, then much of this can get reversed. That's why I'm going to be saying it probably every day I do this program for the next 4 years, that if we want just 4 years, four golden years, then sit back and do nothing and let Trump handle it. But if you want four generations of this, if you want this to last, if you want to take advantage of the air cover that President Trump is giving us from Washington, D.C., that allows for us to take freedom back in our communities with regard to our religious liberty, our free speech, our right to petition, our ability to even gather and assemble, even with regard to becoming the press. I mean, all five of those freedoms in the First Amendment, restoring justice, restoring the due process that's supposed to be guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, but has been trampled for the last 4 years, restoring a healthy respect of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, restoring a responsibility among citizens to do their duty under the Constitution, under the Declaration, where it says consent of the governed. That's the only just power of government. Well, we've got to be giving or refusing consent. And right now is the best opportunity to give or refuse consent that we have had, certainly in my lifetime, and I would argue maybe for 100 years. I mean, this is a phenomenal inflection point in history, and you get to be a part of it. I get to be a part of it. What a blessing it is. The name of this program is appropriate. At the Core. Man, we're at the center of this thing. These are the core principles that produce a good nation, and we're literally at the core of restoring, of rebuilding a culture that has been torn down for multiple generations. What an exciting time to be alive. What an exciting time for you to be plugging in and doing things that can make a difference. I'm gonna be sharing a couple of interviews with you today. We got some guests that are gonna talk about some of the things that we can do. And as I say all the time, it starts with education. We have to know truth. The truth will set you free, but you got to know that truth, and you got to know how to apply it, and you got to know how to walk it out. How do you live it? How do you if you're all for having a constitutional republic, if you're all for holding the leaders accountable, you got to go do it. You got to hold them accountable. If you say you're for freedom of religion, you got to live out your faith. If you say that you want freedom of speech, then you got to use your voice. So much of this can be just esoteric. esoteric, you know, just theoretical discussions and arguments. Where the rubber meets the road is when those ideas become practical, when they become reality. And that's what we're moving into in 2025, is actually taking those action steps. I'm going to throw one out at you that I mentioned, I believe it was probably in January when I had Mark Adams on, and we talked about what we're going to be doing in Indiana at the end of May. But we've got an entire week, the last week of May, that I want to invite you to join me in Indianapolis, Indiana, actually a little suburb there, at the Mark Adams School, where we're going to be building all of the interior needed for our assembly room at Independence Hall at the Patriot Academy campus. You probably heard me talk about this. We're rebuilding Liberty literally across the country, but we're also literally rebuilding Independence Hall so that we have that symbol of Liberty, so that we have the building just like the one in Philadelphia at the Patriot Academy campus in Fredericksburg, Texas, so that when you come visit us, you can study the Constitution in that room. You can feel like you're walking in the footsteps of Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, and you can feel like, you know, go sit in that chair that George Washington sat in throughout the Constitutional Convention for a second and get a picture up there and think about Benjamin Franklin's question to him about the rising or setting sun on the back of the chair. I mean, it's just going to be cool, okay? And it'll be a moment for you, for your grandkids, for your kids, for your family to really cement your commitment of lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to preserve freedom for future generations. So we're going to be building Independence Hall, going to have, Lord willing, break the ground on July 4th of this year, 2025, a little behind, and then we're going to hopefully have it finished, Lord willing, by 2026, July 4th, 2026, and cut the ribbon on it and have a big party. So mark that date, July 4th, 2026, to be in Fredericksburg, Texas. Thousands and thousands of people will be here on the campus enjoying that moment. You'll walk through Independence Hall. We'll have an electronic kiosk where you'll sign the Declaration of Independence and get a printout, and it's going to be cool. Okay, anyway, all that to say, here in a few weeks, last week of May, we're going to head out to Indianapolis, and Mark Adams is going to help us build all the things we need for the interior. And I'm talking about the Windsor chairs, I'm talking about the tables, I'm talking about the tablecloths, those green tablecloths that go on there, the drapes in the room, the chandelier, the paneling for the wall, the chair that President Washington sat in. All of that. We're going to build it at Mark Adams School. He's donating all of the material. He's teaching everybody how to do it. It's going to be amazing. It's not going to cost us anything. In fact, if you go and you want to be a part of it, you'll pay your normal $750 to do a week-long school with him and learn a skill. You don't have to have any skill at all going in. He will teach you that. And that week, you'll put your hands to the plow. You will make a Windsor chair or table or drape or chandelier or whatever. You'll be part of it. And you'll be able to leave that legacy at the Patriot Academy campus. At any rate, he's still going to do that, the $750, but he's going to give it to Patriot Academy. So we'll raise money that week as well as make all of these things that we need for Independence Hall. It's going to be so cool, and you can be a part of it. I was just talking to Mark yesterday, and he's got about 15 slots left. We can handle about 110, 115 people at his place to make all these things. And he said he could fit 10 or 15 more. We could probably do it with the folks that we've got, but if that sounds interesting to you and you would like to spend that week with us, I'll be there all week, and every morning I'll be giving a talk on the Founding Fathers and why we're making what we're making. Chris Dunham, who runs our Patriot Institute at Patriot Academy, will be there all week, and he'll be teaching in the evening. It's going to be really good. Speaking of that, Patriot Institute, you got to be thinking about, if you got 18 to 25 year olds, having them come spend a year with us at the Patriot Academy campus, or at least a semester, 3 or 4 months. We've got all kinds of great programs for them to get grounded, leadership skills, biblical worldview, you name it. Anyway, I digress. Back to Independence Hall, building this at Mark Adams School. If you want to be a part of that and you want to sign up, then go to patriotacademy.com/rebuild. patriotacademy.com/rebuild. And that page right there will tell you all about this special opportunity to get these woodworking or glass blowing, whichever skill you want to acquire. It's going to give you a chance to do that. There's a video on that page that talks about what we're going to be doing and shows you a little bit of what the Mark Adams School is like. It's just a tremendous opportunity, and I would love to see you there. So many of you in the audience, I've talked to you when you call in for the program and never met you. This would be a great opportunity to meet and for you to be a part of the solution, a part of rebuilding. So that's literally a physical rebuilding of liberty that you can be a part of. And then, of course, we're going to continue to talk about the God consciousness, getting the Ten Commandments into schools and courthouses, the national motto, In God We Trust, the nativity scenes. I mean, all the religious liberty symbols, the God consciousness in the culture. We'll be talking more and more about that. We're making progress in Georgia on the Ten Commandments at every courthouse and all of their counties, working with Andrea Justice over there at First Liberty to get that done. We got 15 states running with legislation right now. now to get the Ten Commandments back into our schools. There's just a lot happening right now. Ground is being gained, and you need to be in this fight with us. Help us to build the momentum. I'm a big believer that if we can keep pushing and we build the momentum right now, really how much of that we do over the next 15 months or so is going to be the determining factor on whether or not we get that momentum going downhill and it becomes just impossible for the left to stop us. And that means we can get four generations of liberty out of this thing if we could keep the momentum going. Trump has started it. He's doing all these things so fast, so many things, so quick, keeping the left, you know, just guessing at what's coming next. So he has started it, but we've got to help. We've got to put our shoulder into this thing. We've got to look for those things that we can personally do. And I'm just throwing out some easy ones for you. Being there with us in Indiana that last week of May is a great one. PatriotAcademy.com/rebuild. There's always the opportunity to be a Constitution coach and host one of these classes. And in fact, we've got a new class that's going to be coming out in July this year that's called Rebuild Liberty. So it's going to detail out a lot of these things that I'm talking about. But right now is the time to get a biblical citizenship class going. Do our 8-week biblical citizenship in modern America class right now. I mean, start it this week. Email your friends and family. Go sign up at patriotacademy.com as a Constitution coach for free. You don't have to pay anything for that. And then in your coach dashboard, you can do a couple of clicks and you'll create your own landing page for your class. So it'll be your own webpage that you send out to your friends and family. It doesn't cost you anything. You do it basically on the backbone of the Patriot Academy coach dashboard, and then you send that out to your friends and family, and it's super easy for them to register for the class. And then when they register, again, no charge, doesn't cost them anything, but now they've got a digital workbook to the Constitution class, so they're able to follow along, fill in the blank, get the resources, all of those things, and they get reminders. You in the coach dashboard, you're able to send them emails and say, hey, don't forget, we're doing class on Sunday afternoon after church, after we do potluck, or Monday night over my house and I'll have coffee and cake, whatever your particular system is, however you prefer to do the class. Thousands and thousands of these classes have taken place all over the United States. I believe it was a big part of why we did so well in the election last year. We had over 1 million people go through the class. People got motivated. They became force multipliers. They got involved. They made a difference. It was a big game changer. But we need 5 million to go through that class. We have hundreds and hundreds of candidates running for school board and city council. We need 10,000 candidates running for these offices all over the nation. We got 30,000 Constitution coaches right now. We need 100,000 Constitution coaches. If we can reach those numbers, 100,000 coaches, 10,000 candidates, 5 million biblical citizens having gone through the Constitution class, I believe that cements the shift in the culture that we need for this thing to last for generations. Become a part of it. Do not sit on the sidelines. Do not have an excuse of, well, I got to do this, or I'm busy with, you know, it's baseball season, or I got to coach Little League, or, you know, the kids are getting ready to go on spring. Everybody's got an excuse, and then they have an excuse for the next month and the next month. And before you know it, it's been a year or 2 years or 3 years. Don't do it. Don't fall for that trap. Right now, take the action necessary to become a Constitution coach, to set up your first class, maybe with just 3 people coming to your living room. Maybe you get 300 people at your church. You never know, but you got to start somewhere. I've always said to all of our Constitution coaches, I'd rather have sloppy success than perfect nothing. So don't wait around for everything to be perfect. Perfect time of year, perfect weather, perfect class, perfect, you know, I know everything about the Constitution. That's never going to happen. I still get stumped in all these Constitution classes. Somebody asks me a question, I have no idea, or somebody call in here on the program. Get rid of your pride. Don't try for perfection. Let's go get some sloppy success and keep moving the ball downfield and keeping momentum to save this country. So already just in the first segment today, before we even get to our guests and our interviews today, I've given you a lot of options for how you can make a difference. Number one, patriotacademy.com/rebuild. That's your chance to physically build something with us for the Independence Hall that we're building at the Patriot Academy campus. If you want to be a part of that, it's the last week of May. It costs $750. You'll be there all week with us. You're going to learn an incredible skill, and you will have put your hands to something and made something that'll be at the Patriot Academy campus for 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. Who knows? Depends on how well you make it. Anyway, that's patriotacademy.com/rebuild. And then become a Constitution coach. Everybody can do that. Anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now, you can be a Constitution coach, no matter how young, how old, your experience, none of that matters. We have people that 12-year-olds that have done Constitution class, 90-year-olds that have done Constitution classes. You don't have to have any experience at it. We will hold your hand and walk you through it. It's a phenomenally rewarding thing to do because you're becoming a force multiplier for restoring freedom in this country. To do that one, you can go to patriotacademy.com and click on Constitution Coach, or you can go to constitutioncoach.com. But get signed up, get started, and then as soon as we have our Rebuild Liberty class, we'll add it to your coach dashboard. And after you do biblical citizenship, you can coach your folks through our Rebuild Liberty class, doing all those religious liberty things and the other things we're going to be working on over the next year. Stay with us. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. And for our second segment, we've got a special guest today. I love troublemakers. Now, when I say troublemakers, I actually mean kind of like the disciples. You know how the disciples were considered kind of troublemakers? I mean, they were creating a stir because they were bringing truth. It was convicting people. It was causing people to change their behavior. And if they were changing their behavior away from sinful, destructive habits that other people were benefiting from, those people didn't like that. And so sometimes, you know, they got thrown off a cliff or they got beat or whatever it might be because they were speaking truth. Well, that happens today. Not thrown off a cliff necessarily, not in America. It does happen in other countries to Christians, unfortunately. But here, man, you do get, you get criticized, you get canceled, you get all kinds of things. Well, we got a friend that's happening to up in Illinois, and he's dealing with this just for simply proclaiming truth on the billboard at his church. Pastor James Pittman. James, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. Well, just by, quoting scripture and speaking truth, you guys have caused all kinds of a ruckus up there, which we enjoy here at Wall Builders, because that's what truth tends to do.
Yeah, you all in Texas, right? You're based out of Texas?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're behind enemy lines. We're in the Socialist Republic of Illinois.
No kidding, man. No kidding. So all you had on your monitor out there was, basically heaven's got a wall, got a gate, got all the good stuff, and hell's got open borders, and folks just took it all wrong, huh?
Yeah, they took it all wrong. But you know what? Here's the backstory to all of that is that we have a pro-life ministry at our church, and we had a pro-life rallies in November leading up to the election, and there was a counter protest of pro-abortionists, and I guess the election didn't go the way they like, so they were pretty upset. And so we know the group that started this and twisted the sign to say something it didn't say, and so that was the issue. And the proof of that is when they started to quote unquote protest our church, the rainbow flags were flying big and wide. So yeah,
way beyond the immigration issue. Absolutely.
Way beyond immigration.
I was just texting with a buddy of mine that's a pastor over in Omaha. There was a big hit piece about his church a few days ago, and I said, you're obviously over the target because they're firing at you. And I think what they don't realize, and I was watching some of your clips, and I was thinking the same thing. I think the left, this stuff used to work, right? They could manipulate the narrative and make us sound like we're bigots. Yep. And we're all these things.
They try.
Yeah. And it would scare people away. I don't think it works anymore, man. I think it's like a neon sign. They're basically saying to everybody, hey, this is a church that stands for truth. That's the one you need to go visit.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what? We've actually had some good response to that, too. And there's several people who are attending our church now who said, you know what? I've lived here for 30 years. Didn't know your church was here. Didn't know there was a church that's not afraid to speak the truth. And so Amen. They've actually helped us out tremendously. To that, we say thank you.
Pastor Pittman, you need to send them a letter and say, do I owe you anything for the free advertising that you gave, our church?
Yeah, exactly. You know, funny thing about it is we actually put this sign, because they were manipulated, we put the sign in ChatGPT, I'm not familiar with one of those things, and the ChatGPT spit out, it's a metaphor. Dealing with heaven and hell. Heaven is a place where you go when you're right with God. Hell is when you are judged. And it had the ChatGPT said nothing about U.S. immigration policy, because it had nothing to do with it. But
I'm not sure I feel better, Pastor. That's an example now that AI is smarter than us.
You know what? And in this instance, maybe so.
You know, you mentioned right at the beginning behind it. I mean, I always joke like that when I'm going to California to speak or Massachusetts or whatever. What's happening right now? I mean, with these big shifts around the country and what seems like an appetite for truth and people more hungry for that, are you feeling that there in your community? And do you see that in Illinois?
You know what? No. See, it may be because I have the wrong reference point. I'm originally from Louisiana, right? So born and raised in Louisiana. I went to D.C. for undergrad, and I've been here for 30 years now. We have a wonderful governor by J.B. Pritzker. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I hear sarcasm dripping from...
You know what? They have supermajorities in both the House and the Senate, and it seems like the election has them even going further. Digging in even more, because J.B. Pritzker, I believe, is trying to run for president. So they're going even further. One thing about Illinois, as an example, they've been really good with homeschoolers. They've left homeschoolers alone. Where they're going at the homeschoolers now. Homeschoolers now have to report to the state in ways they've never had to. That's a bill that's on the floor.
Yeah.
And it looked like it's going to pass because they have super majorities, like I said, in both chambers. So in Illinois, it seems like they're going even further to the left.
You guys may be the next cycle, you know, like we saw how far to the left at the federal level we went. And it was just, it finally got to the point where they you know, because the left never realized, they're like the Romans 1, you know, they lack understanding, they profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. Yep. And I don't think they realize how, you know, it's kind of like watching the State of the Union the other night, you know, just the crazies on the Democrat side. You see these images of these sourpusses, they're just the old, decrepit, angry, bitter, you know, and it's the worst commercial ever for the Democrats. Yep. And they don't even realize it. And federally, you know, nationally, I should say, they finally pushed too far. And so now you've got this massive swing going back the other way, at least at the national level. Maybe for you guys in Illinois, you just hadn't got to that breaking point yet where enough people in Illinois say, we're done with this craziness.
What you know, that there seems to be a crack in the dam in that. I have a cousin now. Palatine is about 30 miles from Chicago. I have a cousin who lives closer. He lives on the south side. He lives closer to the city, and he told me that the rebellion on the south side and the west side, they're real. That the African American community has really revolted, and you know, it's the African American community on the south side who was begging Tom Homan to come.
Yeah.
So that may be the crack. Johnson has the lowest, the mayor of Chicago has the lowest approval rating. That's because the west side and south side has revolted against him.
Wow.
It's the black community that has revolted against him. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see if it translates into elections. Elections are going to be hard in Illinois, as you know.
Yeah.
Because just because you don't have a heartbeat doesn't mean you can't vote in Illinois. So that's going to be challenging.
If you're dead, you get to vote twice, right? Isn't that how it works? Is that the
a few times?
Yeah, and if you're over 200, you get extra Social Security and everything, everything else. So, I do think like it is there is a groundswell that's happening, and whether it's the immigration issue or it's all the LGBTQ craziness going so far, you know, it's finally started to bring people back. Hey, but before I let you go, let's go back to just the truth issue in your church and the stand that you've been taking. What was kind of your trigger or your, you know, have you just always been that way? Was there a point at which you said, I'm not going to try to soft pedal this stuff at all, man. We're just hitting the nail on the head. There's no issue we're going to leave out of the pulpit. Hey, were you just always that way? Or was there a point? Well, like my pastor 2 or 3 years ago says the scales came off and he had a major shift to start saying, I'm not going to avoid any of these issues that people said stay away from. How'd that work for you?
No, I've pretty much always been this way. So I took over a church that has been in the Palatine era since 1959. And so, but I took over in 2014. What happened was it was an older church that was pretty much dying. Mm. And so we wanted to see if we could take it over. But myself, I could tell you the lights went off in 1992, when I voted proudly as an African-American from the South Louisiana. I voted for Bill Clinton. For the first time.
Well, he was the first black president, right? That's what they told us.
Yeah. And I went to Bible study at the time of Campus Crusade, and there's an older gentleman there who ripped us as young Christians, we should vote. And so I felt so bad. That was the last time I voted nationally.
That was in your 20s then.
Yeah.
So you got convicted early.
Yeah, I got convicted early. So I came to Illinois to do my graduate work for seminary. But I've always been this way. In 2016, we have had some, how can I say, run-ins with local officials because we were one of the first churches in the area to stand up against the transgender issue. So we're in District 211 in Illinois. That's the issue. That's the district. It's the largest high school district in Illinois. That's what Obama chose to start his Title IX offense.
Oh, wow.
It was in our district.
No
kidding. We went to the school board and we said simply this: God created the male and female. And for that, the local newspaper wrote up articles on us saying we were a hate group.
Wow.
And so we've been taking heat for a while in this area for quite some time. And because of that, we've been banned from YouTube, banned from this, banned from that. But you know what? That's fine.
We badge of honor,
badge
man.
Of honor. Badge of honor.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing this for a while here. So we continue to plug away.
I love it. Continue I love it. Away. Well, and your last thing, I know keeping you long here, but the president, when he in the first 5 minutes of his inauguration speech, when he said male and female and went you know, just, I mean, he just didn't mince any words. I thought, wow, man, maybe we're finally going to turn the corner on this thing.
And you know what? That's a change because, again, we try to call balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Trump wasn't as strong
on
the LGBTQ issue.
Yeah,
he was very soft on the first issue.
Yeah.
And that was one of my hesitations, but he didn't govern that way.
Yeah.
He didn't govern that way in 2016. And now to the point where now he says the federal government, male and female, I almost fell off my chair.
Yeah.
People in my church were rejoicing because
Amen.
That was an issue he was very soft on. That's a 180 for him. And that, we celebrate that.
Amen, bro.
We definitely
Amen.
Celebrate that.
Man, we enjoy the victories. I love what you said. We just call balls and strikes, man. The word of God doesn't change whether they're Republican, Democrat, or whatever. We're equal opportunity critics, right?
That's right. That's right. There's one man that's perfect we don't criticize.
That's
Other than him, everybody else is fair game.
Amen. Amen. What a pleasure, man. I'm so glad you came on. Looking forward to getting to know you better and hope to see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Pastor James Pittman up there in Illinois. What a treat, man. I mean, I don't know, that makes me feel like I need to be having more courage, you know, and that when someone has courage, it's contagious, and it makes people willing to speak truth, poke the bear a little bit, and, you know, recognize that we're not supposed to be popular. You know, we know that the world's going to hate us when we bring that truth. You also got to know that when you're bringing truth and it convicts, it's painful to people, that when you pour salt in the wound, there's going to be some burning, right? That when we're salt and light, that salt and light is going to take some action that creates a chemical reaction and you know is going to create some naysayers and some people that criticize us. Man, we got to let that roll off our back. Shouldn't affect us. Got to be like Patrick Henry when he gave that "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. He said, "Should I hold back my opinions out of fear of giving offense? I'll offend the great creator of the universe." He's basically saying in a very bold way, I don't care if I offend you. I worry about offending God. That's what I want to not do. And so if I offend you, well, so what? Truth is offensive. Let's get that attitude back, man. Let's be willing to be salty, not sugary. Let's be salt and light, and we can turn this culture around. We can restore the greatness of America. But America's not going to be great again if we don't make her godly again, if we don't get back to the laws of nature and nature's gods. That's vital. It's essential, and you are part of it. Just like I was talking in the first segment, you are the individual in your family, in your community, that can be the catalyst for a restoration of these biblical values and constitutional principles. But you got to be willing to get educated, and then you got to be willing to take action, like Pastor Pittman. You got to be willing to stand bold in your community. And sometimes that's as simple as within your Christian community being willing to say, you know what? Hey, we need to look at what the Bible says about how to treat our neighbor. We need to learn how to be good citizens, because that's what citizenship is. That's what politics is. It's how you treat your neighbor. What's your neighborhood going to look like? What's going to be legal in your neighborhood, and what's going to be illegal in your neighborhood? What will be the punishment if somebody violates a law in your neighborhood? It's all about how you treat your neighbor. And when you're involved in that, you bring a biblical worldview to that, then the laws, the punishments, the what we can do, what we can't do, who gets to decide what we do and what we don't do, all of that will line up with the laws of nature and nature's God if we're being biblical citizens. And when we line up with the laws of nature and nature's God, we get the benefit of that. We get the blessings instead of the curses. When we go against the laws of nature and nature's God, we get the curses instead of the blessings. And we get to decide that in this country. It's unlike most people who ever lived on the planet. They were forced to live under a dictatorship, a king, somebody else telling them what to do, somebody else making the decisions for how they would live, how they would worship, all of those things. Not here, not in America. We get to decide. The answer to that very important question, two-word question, who decides? The answer to who decides most of the time is you. We're a self-governing people. And the more we have a self-governing system and we have citizens who can self-govern because they're being guided by the Bible, the more free we will be. If the answer to the question, who decides, is the government on virtually everything, who decides whether your kid goes to which school they go to? If the government decides that, you have less freedom. Who decides how many homes you can put on your lot and your property where you live or your ranch? If the government gets to decide that, you're less free. If you get to decide that, you're more free. If you have to ask permission, you're not free. So the answer to who decides when we go to war, okay, that's a proper answer to that, is government. So there's a reason we invest that power with the President of the United States, and that, well, specifically Congress decides when we go to war, but meaning the federal government and not with individual states. We don't want them going to war on their own. We don't want individuals going to war with other countries on their own. So there is a time to say the answer to the question, who decides, is government. And when we say that, then we need to know, okay, which government? Is it the feds? Is it the state? Is it the local? That's why the education piece of this is critical. Before you can be courageous and go take action, you've got to be educated. You got to get equipped. You got to know how to operate within this system of freedom that we have. So I'm back to my commercial from the first segment, which is simply become a biblical citizen and be a force multiplier to help other people be biblical citizens. The more people you put through our biblical citizenship class, the better you're going to raise the civic literacy and biblical literacy of your neighborhood, your family, your community, and you will benefit from that. You'll have more freedom. People will vote better. They'll vote for people that want the answer to the question, who decides, to be the individual most of the time, and only have government do what only government can do. Government's not bad if it's in its lane. It's a God-created institution. When it's doing what it's supposed to do, when it's in its lane, then it's good. But when we let it be the answer to every question of who decides, it becomes very bad. Tyranny, not good. Freedom, absolutely. We want freedom within the boundaries of how God designed this thing to work. So get signed up for that biblical citizenship class today. Share it with as many friends and family as you can. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Rick Green. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and I am way overdue on today's program. I completely missed Black History Month last month. We usually do several programs on the great Black patriots and all of these incredible stories that if we taught these things, you know, you wouldn't have this hatred between the races so much about America. You wouldn't have this lack of American pride in some of the communities within our country. If we just talk about the heroes, the different ethnic heroes throughout our history and highlight those heroes, I want every little Black boy and girl in America to know they've got ownership in the American dream, that the American Revolution began with the death of a Black patriot named Crispus Attucks and ended with a Black patriot that was the first double agent in American history, a guy named James Armistead. I mean, they should know those stories so that they find ownership in the American dream. It should be that way for all of us. And no matter what the color of your skin, that we'll be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. You got to tell the stories in order to get those principles alive and to create that American patriotism. So I like Black History Month. I think it's a great time to tell those stories. We do that at Wall Builders. David Barton has been just a master of finding and rediscovering and redeploying so much of that information that had been lost because you had these racist people like Woodrow Wilson. The Democrats have always been racist, and Woodrow Wilson literally would erase blacks from the history books. He would not talk about the contribution of blacks. And so Democrats like that did everything they could to get rid of the good part of our history, get rid of those heroes, because they love sowing division. Democrats usually get their political power by dividing us instead of bringing us together, by emphasizing what we have in difference instead of what we have in common. And so normally in February, we'll have several programs on those Black Patriots. And I just have been so consumed with trying to keep up with all the changes that have taken place. I don't think I've covered any of them this year. So I apologize for that, but because we're missing the opportunity to educate the American people on a lot of really, really cool stuff. So today I've got a special guest. I actually had a chance to interview him for the Wall Builders program. Wall Builders, of course, has some really cool books and different videos on this. We did a lot of reenactments about the first blacks in Congress, about all kinds of the Black Patriots in the Revolution. David Barton has a great book called American History in Black and White, Setting the Record Straight, a video with those reenactments in it. Lots of cool stuff. So check that out over at wallbuilders.com. They've got a lot of great resources that I believe you will very much enjoy. But the guest today is actually someone not from Wall Builders that also did a book on the great Black Patriots and talks about a lot of these folks, and we wanted to get him on to chat a little bit. So Patrick Poole is a new author on this particular book is new, and he's helping to remind us of these great Black Patriots. Patrick, thanks so much for coming on today.
No, thanks, Rick.
Hey, so this is an area, I bet you 99% of Americans have no idea that there were great Black Patriots in America's history. These kids are told, you know, it was all a bunch of rich white guys that did everything, and so you should hate white people. And, you know, if little Black kids knew these stories, they'd have an ownership in the American dream. If little white kids knew these stories, they wouldn't have this false white guilt. Anyway, I'm just thrilled that you're doing what you're doing, and I hope the book does incredibly well. Tell us what got you into this.
Well, I started researching the Patriots who fought at Bunker Hill.
Yeah.
And as I got into it, I kept running into these. Some were free men, some were slaves. And finally, dozens of them. And I'm like, there's got to be more to this because, you know, I think I'm a pretty astute student of the American Revolution, and this was all new to me. And I've been digging for the past 4 years, and I still haven't reached bottom. You know, and I think it's just an incredible story for Americans to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Tim Barton teaches in our biblical citizenship class. He talks about, you know, the American Revolution essentially starts with the death of a Black patriot and ends with the espionage of a Black patriot. And if it'd just be so cool if everybody knew that. Speaking of Bunker Hill, I was just reading about this. It's interesting we've got you today because I was just reading about, you know, this. I didn't realize there was some controversy about whether it was Peter Salem or this other Salem Poor, like who was the hero at Bunker Hill? And I guess question, I don't know if you got into that when you were doing your research or not, but either way, there's a great story there to be had. I know I've always thought it was Peter Salem, but then I began to hear about this Salem Poor. Anyway, I didn't know if that was one of the guys that you covered for the book.
In fact, I covered both of them. Yeah. Peter Salem had the attributions early on in the local histories. But what's particular about Salem Poor is that in December 75, as there were these discussions about whether Black Patriots are going to be allowed to enlist and be in the Continental Army, the commanders at Battle Hill sent a letter to the Massachusetts Provincial Congress and said, hey, there's this guy, Salem Poor. We commanded him at Bunker Hill, and he's a brave and gallant soldier, and he deserves recognition for his heroism. And it's a document that's in the Massachusetts State Archives, and I put a copy of it in the book. But Peter Salem also played a pretty important role in an event that's we're coming up on the 250th anniversary is Lexington and Concord. And he was there at the Old North Bridge with the Framingham Militia firing the shot that heard around the world. And when I began researching this topic, I ran into another Black Patriot by the name of Prince Esterbrook, who literally was at the first shots of the American Revolution at Lexington Green. He was part of John Parker's Lexington militia. He was a slave at the time, and he was wounded by the British fire there. And he ended up serving multiple terms, basically until 1783, when the British evacuated New York.
So he essentially was there from the first shot all the way through.
Yes, absolutely. And there were others, guys like Jude Hall from New Hampshire. He escaped slavery, joined John Stark's regiment, New Hampshire regiment, fought at Bunker Hill, and he ended up being one of the last soldiers discharged at the end of the war.
Yeah, I noticed in your book you talk about that there were, I think you said, dozens of Black Patriots at Bunker Hill. I didn't realize that either. I've always thought of it, you know, it was just Peter Salem or Salem Poor or one or two, but so there were quite a few of them there.
Yes, and I kind of go over some of those individuals in the book. The National Park Service actually commissioned a study about 20 years ago by a researcher by the name of George Quintal. And this study's freely available. You can find it online. And he went back and went into the muster rolls and identified about more than 100 Black Patriots and Native Americans who fought at Bunker Hill.
And all the way through, I think, you know, even I didn't realize another one you mentioned was at, you know, the crossing of the Delaware, that there were Black Patriots fighting there as well.
Yeah. And in fact, Peter Jennings, Black Patriot from New Jersey, he ended up giving a very detailed account of the crossing of the Delaware, the Patriot victories at Trenton and Princeton, in his pensions affidavit, which he filed decades later. And it's one of the best accounts of what actually happened. And, you know, he too ended up being in a lot of these major battles after the crisis and the 10 crucial days. And, you know, he was at Valley Forge, et cetera.
What would you say, Patrick, what would be your goal for the takeaway, people that read the book? What do you hope they really walk away with?
I think this is an important part of the American story. I think for the Black community, I think I would hope that they would see that, you know, they're not strangers here. I mean, this is something that their ancestors fought and in many cases died for. You know, one of the things I have in the book was I identified more than 50 Black Patriots who died at Valley Forge, which is when, you know, George Washington was having a hard time keeping any semblance of an army together at that point. And by the time they leave Valley Forge and start pursuing the British, you know, through New Jersey and the Battle of Monmouth, there were more than 700 Black Patriots who fought at the Battle of Monmouth.
Wow.
So, you know, I think this is an important story, not just for Black Americans, but for all Americans to see that,
yeah,
hey, you know, there's this is something we need to recognize, something we need to honor.
Yeah, I think it changes your, it definitely destroys the narrative that has been kind of the woke narrative of the last few years of tearing down America and all of those things. I mean, it's, you know, we tell the good, the bad, the ugly here. So we don't run away from any of the bad. We know that's there as well. But to shy away from this part that's so good and that, you know, like I said earlier, gives ownership to the American dream is really a disservice, not only to the Black community, but to all Americans. So I love this. I mean, the first time David Barton told one of these stories, I was shocked. I mean, because I, you know, of course, didn't learn any of that in school. Nobody ever talked about that. And I'm just, you know, thankful that you're putting it out there and getting more people educated on this. Best place, you, Amazon, to get the book?
It's available in paperback, hardback, and Kindle.
Black Patriots, Recovering a Lost History of the American Revolution by Patrick Poole. Patrick, God bless you, man. Thanks for doing the book.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Great stuff, man. I remember the first time I started to learn about some of these great Black Patriots, I was walking through David Barton's museum up in Aledo, Texas. If you've never been there, you need to stop next time you make a trip to Texas. Find out if you can get a tour there at the Wall Builders Museum. But we were up there. I can't remember what shows we were doing, what we were working on, but this has been 15 years ago at least. And I'm walking through there, and I'm looking at some of the stuff in the glass cases, you know, just like a museum is. And he had this one glass case, and there was a couple of things that really caught my attention. One of them was an old fashioned, almost like a baseball card, but it was, oh, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 little bitty pictures of these members of the legislature, I think in South Carolina. It might have been Georgia, but I'm pretty sure it was South Carolina. And then almost all of them were Black. Most of them were Black. There's probably five or six whites, and most of them were Black. And I said, you know, what is this, David? And he said, that's a hit card. That's the KKK's hit card that they would give out to say, these are the members of the South Carolina legislature that if you see them, kill them. I said, what? Wait a minute. First of all, I didn't know there were Black legislators in South Carolina back then. This was soon after the Civil War. Okay, how ignorant am I? I mean, this was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I didn't study Reconstruction, and I mean, I didn't remember any of that stuff. I remember I hated history in high school and college. I mean, I love it now, and I'm involved and learned so much from David and so many others in the last 20 years or so. But, you know, I was like, what are you talking? There were Blacks in the legislature, and they were Republicans? Because that was what he was pointing out, is that the KKK was essentially the muscle for the Democrat Party. They would go take out anybody that was a Republican, and if you were Black, you were definitely a Republican back then. And I said, wait a minute, if you were Black, you were a Republican back then? I thought most Blacks were Democrats in America. And so I didn't know the history on this, and that's why that series that he did, American History in Black and White, Setting the Record Straight, is so powerful, because it tells you, and the other thing that caught my attention in that glass case was this newspaper article. There's a little Black boy, and he's got his hands on his hips, and he's looking up, and the headline is, "Who's a Democrat?" Exclamation point. And I thought the article was essentially the kid saying, "Who's with me? You know, who else is a Democrat?" Well, then you look close at the article. No, he's saying whoever's a Democrat is against me as a little Black boy because of all the lynchings that were taking place in the South. And then you start to read the article and you realize that the Democrats were doing these lynchings across the South. And it wasn't just Blacks. It was whites as well. It was like 4,600 and something or 900 and something lynchings during that period. And 25% of those lynchings were whites. White Republicans. So it was the KKK being the muscle of the Democrat Party to try to fight against Reconstruction and essentially keep segregation and racism in the South. That's the story of the Democrat Party, and nobody talks about it anymore. Nobody tells these stories. David Barton was telling it 20 years ago. And so I see all of those pictures in that case. I start asking questions. David starts taking me through all these things. Then he started putting the presentation together that would ultimately become that video and those books. And it was just eye-opening, so powerful. In fact, I remember at the time, David was going around and speaking in Black churches, and he was telling these stories, and he couldn't get through the whole presentation. The pastor would come up and grab the microphone and say, "We're not going to be a doormat for a Democrat Party or a Republican Party or anybody else anymore. We're going to vote Bible." Well, folks, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be voting Bible. We ought to be absolutely, whether Republican or Democrat, voting what the Bible tells us to do. And when they found the stories of and the history and got the truth, they wanted to do the same thing in those churches that David was speaking in. So if that piques your curiosity and you want to learn a little bit more about that, head on over to wallbuilders.com and check out American History in Black and White, Setting the Record Straight. And then there's also some other materials. I think there's a couple of things in there called Black Patriots, and there's a great, you know, story of James Armistead and these other folks. And then, as I mentioned in the first segment, take biblical citizenship, because when you become a coach and you host biblical citizenship, it's either week two or week three. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but Tim Barton does about 30 minutes specifically on this. It's a response to that ridiculous, evil lie of the 1619 Project, but he ends up getting into a lot of these great Black patriots in American history. So it's a wonderful, wonderful lesson. So that's probably the easy easiest thing from all the all the things I've talked about today on the program, just remember to go sign up at patriotacademy.com as a Constitution coach, start hosting Biblical Citizenship, and you'll be able to share some of those great Black Patriots in week two or three, whichever one it is. And but then also check out wallbuilders.com and get some of those materials, and then of course get Patrick's new book as well. Lots of great stuff today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. I hope you share it with your friends and family. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. You ever wonder why our society is so ravenous to abort babies? Well, according to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents. They sickly believe that the blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies, in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. Every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. Donate securely today. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 or go to preborn.com. Preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.